Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, April 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, reading paragraph 3, which begins with When We Saw Others. We'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Lily M. for the 12 Traditions, Donna W., Laura R., and Jana R. Mary B. is going to welcome newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting, and then Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements today. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, April 21st, is 16807. That's 16,807. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for April 22nd, is 16815. That's 16,815. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is Terry H., and I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. And seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, made a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service today.
Thank you for your service, Terry H., and thank you also, Lily M., who will now read the 12 traditions.
Okay, this is Lily M., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone should be except the speakers, should be muted using the star 1 function on your keypad, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52. We're in the third paragraph, and I will now ask Donna W. to please begin reading.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California, gratefully in recovery today. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas do not work, but the God idea did. Let's see. There's a lot in here, this little paragraph, but a couple things that jump out at me. It says simple reliance. And I wrote down here that, you know, I know how to be self-reliant. I know how to be food reliant, but being God reliant is a whole nother thing. And, you know, at the beginning of this chapter, it says, you know, we'd rather go to the gates of hell. Oh, here it is. At the beginning, it says to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. So it's simple reliance, but that's not, this doesn't mean it's easy. And then I'm struck that Bill uses the word spirit of the universe. He uses a lot of different words for God here. And, So I just want to go back to that self-reliance and food reliance. Like, you know, so I grew up being very self-reliant, was taught to be a strong, independent woman. And so it is, for me, it is an ongoing opportunity and challenge to be God-reliant, to remember that I don't have to run the show, and that actually my life works better when I don't run the show. And then, you know, I grew up believing that food was my higher power. So I have a lot of reliance on food. You know, thinking that it has power to help me feel better and numb me out and get through my challenging times. So a lot of it is like I do have faith. You know, the next couple paragraphs talk about faith. I do have faith. I have faith in myself. I have faith in the food. And it's really a transferring of that faith to a power greater than myself. And, you know, the challenge is that, you know, I can touch the food. And, you know, other things, and the earlier in the chapter, they're talking about that, you know, that I'm looking to rely on something where I have material proof And here, Bill is saying, you know, others, we saw others solve their problems. And so Bill's asking us to trust, have faith in the social proof. And the social proof is kind of a word these days, because we have social proof. Like, I put something out there on the social media, I get some social proof. But Bill's asking us to, you know, have social proof by looking around the rooms of recovery, or the Zooms of recovery these days, that those who are relying on God are able to put the food down and put those bedevilments down. And just like I'm used to relying on myself and relying on the food, those bedevilments start to feel like that's just normal life, right? To be unhappy and miserable. But by putting a simple faith in a power greater than myself, greater than the food, then I get to, look at possibilities where I'm not living in these bedevilments. And, it's also about surrendering, we surrender to this power, we surrender to this God idea, even if we don't believe in it, but we can just surrender to it. And that's what a lot of program is about. It's not about just debating it. It's not about understanding it. We just do it. And that's, you know, to me, it's part of the spiritual component, is that we surrender. We say, okay, I'm just going
to act
as if, thank you, I'm going to act as if there's a power greater than myself that can do for me what I cannot do for myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
What a great kickoff. Thank you very much, Donna W. So, though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may have an opportunity to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared this week, please press *1 to unmute and give me your first name and last initial to get in the lineup. Lydia T.
Amy M.C. from Massachusetts.
I heard Lydia T. and Amy M.C.
Carrie G.
And Felicia D. One more or two more? Anybody else?
Nikki P. Sandy K.
And Sandy K. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay, we got Lydia T., Amy M.C., Carrie D., Felicia P. or D. I cannot read my own writing. And Nikki P. and Sandy K., and you guys are so gentle on me. I can't believe I got y'all. Okay, Lydia T., you're up first, followed by Amy C. And if you're not Lydia T., please press *1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lydia T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Marquette, Michigan. I just wanted to comment on that, the spiritual portion, and just really how it's so easy. I shouldn't say easy, the simple part of it, and to surrender my own food and to surrender all the things where it's concerning my own life, I can do. And I've been doing it, and I've been successful, and I've been abstinent. But God keeps calling me to surrender so many other things that are so much harder than my own addictions and my own issues. And I keep surrendering, and I keep thinking it will be the last thing I have to surrender. And, you know, I just don't know, and I have to keep believing that this is, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I surrendering my kids. I did that with my older children who are grown now, and I don't have that same surrender. And my husband, who's a recovering alcoholic, and, you know, I thought I had three in the family and grew up in a home with dysfunction and alcoholism. And now my youngest son, I have to surrender him too. And I keep getting a little angry with my higher power, saying, why do I have to have all of these people that I need to surrender, and I have no control over anything? I can do the next right thing. I can listen to my higher power, but it just keeps getting harder and harder. And I don't, I, And I don't even know how people that aren't recovered could even do this. I don't know. I have no idea. I guess I would be eating myself to death or drinking myself to death if I didn't have conscious contact every single day. And I just felt necessary to share that, that it's hard. And I'm still getting up every day and doing it. I'm, you know, prepping my food so that, you know, I have enough for a week in case we have to leave and go pick up my son at the hospital and bring him to another hospital. And I will be prepared, and I pray every day, and I have spiritual contact, and I don't know what I would do without that. And that's all I have. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, Lydia. I really appreciate that share. Okay, Amy C., you're up next, followed by Carrie D. Please go ahead, Amy.
Hi, this is Amy M.C., calling from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you for your service today and for those of us on the line, and welcome to the newcomers. You know, taking a look at the text this morning, gosh, I could just so identify with this paragraph, and it just brought me back, you know, to like my very first OA meetings. And then when I first started listening to A Vision for You as well, and it just brings me back to, you know, that complete defeat that I felt, and that utter defeat around the food, and wanting to go nowhere but up, and knowing that I was at my bottom. Because I did see others solve their problems by a simple reliance on a spirit of the universe. And so what I hear and what I digest when I read this and when I hear this is I saw other people who were speaking how I felt and who were expressing themselves, you know, so much more clearly than I ever could. And to know that it was just a simple reliance on the spirit of the universe. So a simple reliance, it was kind of like common sense to me, like, oh gosh, right. I'm not really relying on God. And I haven't been. I so understood the idea of my self-will run riot around the food and the idea of, you know, what I had done with God in the past and how I gave God the script to follow. And God, please just remove this food thing for me and I'll do X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, help me get through today without picking up. And I promise tomorrow I'll be good. You know, I wasn't a bad person. I couldn't handle the food. I couldn't handle anything. I had to have this reliance on a power greater than myself. And I love here how in the same paragraph, we have spirit of the universe and then power of God, you know, had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And again, like, I remember that pink cloud and, you know, I'm brought back to that pink cloud of like hope and comfort and God's love just taking over and surrender, you know, because it did seem simple. It was like, oh gosh, all I have to do is surrender. All I have to do is let go. And when I'm in, you know, that perfect peace with God and I'm in a serenity, in a serene state, and I can be in direct connection with God, this is how I feel. I feel, you know, that my reliance is on the spirit of the universe. I am not doubting the power of God, whether it be about my food or about anything else. I know that He has me, and I can sit back. When my mind starts going, it's like, gosh, I just need to get still and quiet.
That's a
and
reminder.
Listen to that. Thank you. And just listen to that gentle, intuitive thought and know that God has me and the God idea works and my idea doesn't. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Amy M.C. Okay, great shares already. Wow. Carrie D., you're up next, followed by Felicia P. or D. You can correct me when you come on the line. Please go ahead, Carrie.
Hi. Yes, thank you so much for your service. This is Carrie G. in Colorado, gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater and bulimic, and always so great to get a chance to be on the line. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And this idea of growing my relationship with God, because when I was in the food, I thought I was so spiritual. I was a yoga teacher, I massage therapist, used Reiki, practiced chakra work. I knew God. I had a spiritual relationship, but I wasn't growing my concept of God. I wasn't practicing a conscious contact while being entirely abstinent. So there's a huge difference. I've found out that how I am actively practicing a conscious contact while being entirely abstinent after working the steps and having a spiritual awakening after going through the step work with another person is so entirely different than having sacred practices. And so today I love a different, like on awakening, I always ask God for the strength and the direction to get me up. When I get in my car, I put on my seatbelt. I ask God, keep me safe and protected. I get to the end of my journey. I'm taking off my seatbelt. It's a reminder. God, thank you for keeping me safe and protected. I'm walking through doorways that are archways to freedom. And I heard that from another member years ago, and she said, every time I walk through a doorway, it's a little mnemonic device, a reminder. I am walking through an archway to freedom that we learn about in the book. And so I just love the little devices. Even we have a little frog on our mantle that my stepdaughter sewed for us. And that sweet little fully rely on God. Frog. So all these ways that I can remember to rely on God, that's what keeps the God idea real for me today. And I'm not in this misery of the food, because there is a solution in this book. So if you're new in program, just like it's saying in this paragraph, we heard others solve their problem. And that's exactly what I did for years, just listened on this line to other people solving their problems. And thank God today I'm actually experiencing the sunlight of the spirit. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carrie G. Okay, Felicia, you're up next. And please give us the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Nikki P.
It's D like door.
Thank you, Felicia.
You're welcome. Hi, I'm Felicia, compulsive reader. And when I love this little paragraph. When I first came in, I was like, oh, a simple reliance upon spirit of the universe. I got this. I already do this somewhere else. And so this is going to be really simple for me, and just kind of didn't realize how arrogant I was. I just kind of went on my way and was up and down and all around. And then I kind of took on this identity of like a relapser, and I think that became in itself a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I wasn't utilizing God. I certainly was doubting that he had the power to save me, you know, like, okay, this is okay for all these other people, but he can't help me. And he couldn't help me because I wasn't even open to it, even though, again, I was blinded to that. This time around, it's, you know, my ideas do not work. My ideas around how I should eat, my ideas around when I should eat, my ideas on when I should approach my higher power. Even recently finding out, like, oh, there's a lot of people that spend a minimum of 30 minutes in the morning with their higher power. I had no idea. How did I not have any idea? I don't know, but I didn't. So it was like, let me try to be open to that, because obviously what I was doing in the past wasn't enough. Trying to meditate in the morning and at night. Some people suggested that, being willing to do that. You know, the people that are in here that have back-to-back abstinence that last, they talk constantly about finding ways to rely on their higher power, not just in the morning and at night, but in everyday moments, like was just shared so beautifully. And so it's my becoming willing to surrender in everyday seconds, in everyday moments. I had one thing that I was really afraid to, you know, I had this problem where my daughter's ex-boyfriend told her that he killed two people, but not like who, but he told her that. And then the police found out, and then they were investigating, trying to figure it out. And I was so filled with fear that he her ex-boyfriend was going to come and kill her or my family, because that's where her address that he knows is, and really struggled as to like where does God's will come in and what about other people's will. And I finally ended up having to get to a place that I don't know if he will use his will, and at some point we could be wiped out. I don't have control over that. But if I put all my faith in the fact that he's going to, I'm going to lose any serenity or opportunity in the day that I'm in. And so I have to trust God the best that I can to give me the best day that I can have, and hope that this doesn't happen. But I can't live in that because I can't function. I just completely shut down. And so going to God to help me in the day that I'm in so that I can surrender my will and my life over is what gives me any kind of peace or comfort. And I'm so grateful to have people. Thank you. I'm so grateful to have people that constantly talk about this so that I can constantly remember that this is something I need to do. Thank you so much. I pass.
Wow, that's a lot, Felicia. We'll pray for you. Okay, Nikki P., you're up next, followed by Sandy K. Please go ahead, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki P. in Northern California, a recovered available sponsor. And I just wanted to share that it sounds like many others too, focused on the simple. But for me, I tend to make things complicated because I want to be perfect and I want to be thorough. But what I had to learn from those around me was that my God doesn't need me to be perfect. My recovery doesn't need me to be perfect. It's only necessary that I do connect to my higher power and that I do trust my higher power in those everyday moments. For me, in the morning, that starts with prayers. And then it took some time for me to realize that I was still being self-reliant throughout the day, even after those prayers. So I actually had to set alarms on my watch to remind me several times a day to just pause, to take a moment, do a one-line prayer or the serenity prayer or something to reestablish that connection that I had in the morning. And then doing that allowed me to remember in those moments when I was finding myself to be self-reliant, that then I could remember to turn to my higher power. But it took that sort of simple reminder in order for me to learn how to do that. It didn't come naturally to me at all. And so that's all that I wanted to share today. Thank you all for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Nikki P. Okay, Sandy K. is up next, and we'll take another lineup after Sandy shares, and we're commenting on page 52, paragraph 3, when we saw others. Please go ahead, Sandy K.
Thank you very much for your service. This is Sandy K. in Florida. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I want to thank the people who came before me this morning. Some of those shares I found very powerful. Simple reliance. There was nothing simple about it. I should say it was simple, but it wasn't easy. No one ever told me the program was going to be easy, but it was simple. I came into program with no concept of a higher power. And the only thing, in thinking about this passage, the only thing I really felt I could rely on was food to make me feel better. My family of origin would not have let me be homeless. I mean, they would have, they loved me and they loved me. But I didn't feel I could rely on them. But I could rely on food. And then after relying on food for so many years, it became, as opposed to a luxury, as the big book says, a necessity. And that became a huge thorn in every part of my body. So I think it's the 12 and 12 in AA that says, key is the willingness that opens the door. And for me, I had to be willing to find something other than food to rely on. I could take step one, but I wasn't sure about taking step two, and certainly didn't know what was going to happen in step three. But one step at a time, I eased my way, I want to say clawed, but that's not true. I eased my way into being reliant on who my higher power is today. And it's, I don't just rely on my higher power regarding food, relationships, job, where I was going to move, you know, how to handle a difficult family member, how to find, you know, a soulmate. I mean, it's only, I only rely on my higher power, because if I rely on myself again, it didn't bring me any place that I ever want to go back to. So that, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy Kay. Okay, though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may have an opportunity to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared this week and would like to comment on page 52, paragraph 3, please give me your name and first initial of your last name.
Arlene B. Yes.
Okay, I got you too. Anne Marie M. Gotcha, Anne Marie. Anybody else?
Laura Lee S.
I've got room for two more if anybody else would like to share. Okie dokie, let's get started with Bruce C., Arlene D., Anne Marie M., and Laura Lee S. Please go ahead, Bruce. You're followed by Arlene.
Okay, Bruce E. I'm in Florida. I'm recovered. And thank you, everybody on the line. Appreciate it. It's great reading. Great paragraph and great chapter in the big book. And let's see. Stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Okay, so you get in the program, in division. Start using the God idea, and instead of my own ideas were the food, and then the diets to try to control the food, and then getting into program and using the program as group support, dieting with group support, finally getting a sponsor and working the steps, and the obsession and compulsion for the food lifted. And I got recovered. Now, that was, I mean, it was miles and years of pain and suffering to get to that point. But it happened. And I didn't have to do much at all except read the big book, sponsor, and it lifted. The obsession and compulsion lifted. So then, guess what comes into my life after that? Is the fear, the resentment. It's already there, but it's just becoming apparent. Fear, resentment, judging, and ego. And I have been just absolutely going nuts trying to get rid of the judging and the ego and the fear and the resentment. I mean, it didn't lift. That didn't lift. You know, and I'm thinking, well, God is so ultimate and powerful and so sovereign and loving of me that he recovered me on the food. How come the other hasn't lifted? And I'm having more problems with judging today than I've had in years. So how does that get lifted? You know, well, it says here, doubting the power of God, our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Maybe it's been my idea on this fear and this judging. That's been my idea. It's God's idea to judge and to be fearful. That's the opposite of God. That's my own thinking that's doing all that. But then the question is, so if I recognize that, the question is, how do I get rid of it? I want to live happy, joyous, and free, right? I want to be a happy person. I've been praying, God, show me how to be happy. God, show me how to be happy. And to some extent, it's happening. But I'm not flowing in this happiness. Let me put it that way.
Gentle reminder.
I got a long ways to go. Thank you. So I am really petitioning God for some help on this thing. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. More will be revealed. It comes to mind. Awesome. Okay, Arlene B., you are up next, and you're followed by Anne Marie M.
Thank you. This is Arlene B., recovered compulsive eater from Boynton Beach, Florida. New address to me. We just moved about a week ago, and my idea was to unpack everything in the first 2 days. Well, I wasn't relying on God, obviously, and I was struck with a slew of physical reactions that revolved around my back, my hands, my stomach. I mean, everything was out of whack. And I just started, you know, praying for help, and thank you, God, my food was straight, because I have worked these steps and I do work these steps. But the God idea, good, orderly direction, I wasn't listening to that. My instincts told me I was doing too much, but I ignored it. You know, that gut feeling, I ignored it, which is always God speaking to me. So I wound up, luckily, getting the help I needed, going from one position to acupuncture to another place, and I'm starting to feel my old energy come back. And now I'm looking to focus again on getting out of self, because that is what always drives me to do things that are harmful to myself in the long run. And I'm feeling a lot more peace. The God idea. When we moved in, we got a call. A neighbor came to the door with a hot baked bread, just what I needed, right? But to welcome me into the community, which I'd never experienced. Now, one of the things that I wanted when I moved to this community was to make friends. And so I called her back finally today to thank her. And she invited me to go to the pool. She goes every day to exercise, and she does this American arthritis routine. And I thought, wow, if that isn't a God message, you know, because my body needs it so badly. And I thought, how lovely. If I hadn't reached out to this pertinent person and gotten over my fear, because I am a shy person, being an addict who focuses on self, if I hadn't reached out to her, none of this would be happening. So I'm just feeling loved and embraced by God today. And, I'm just hoping I can continue work the St. Francis prayer, you know, contribute to life. And today I feel that's possible. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Arlene B. And Anne Marie M., you're up next, followed by Laura Lee S.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Anne Marie M., compulsive overeater, and through God's grace have been recovered, gratefully, and I am in South Carolina. This paragraph, I can identify with it because I saw in others how the reliance on God had helped them with many areas, not only their compulsive overeating, but other areas in their life. And I spent a lot of years in OA, going to meetings and commiserating with others who lost their abstinence the day before or had problems going on in their lives. And there was very little talk about the steps, never mind God. And I just kept coming back to OA because what I was doing wasn't working. And I heard about the steps, and then finally I learned about the steps, and then finally I learned about living in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's where the solution is, because the purpose, from what I understand and what I've read in the big book, the purpose of the big book is for us to get a relationship with God, and I've been able to do that. And I hang around with people now that have a relationship with God, and I hang around with people that are improving their relationship with God. Step 11 says that we sought to improve our conscious contact with God. I need to continue doing that every day, reaching out and having a great relationship with the God of my understanding. You know, we're buddies, and I can talk to him throughout the day. It wasn't like that for the longest time. You know, growing up, I saw God, you know, way up there. I mean, he was my higher power. He was way high, and almost unreachable. You know, I just loved hearing that about the St. Francis prayer. I try to live that, you know, try to be comforting rather than look to be comforted, to understand rather than to be understood, to love than to be loved, you know. When I work towards that, then I'm living, that's what God wants me to do. And it does say, simply a simple reliance on the spirit of the universe. And I'm powerless, and very simply, I just need a power greater than me. It is very simple. And so, and what I learned a lot from was listening to people on A Vision for You who do live the big book way of life of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've learned from them that the reliance and my improving on my reliance on God is so very, very important. So I appreciate that. I know there was some more I wanted to say, but I can't remember, and it's probably just about time. So I will pass. Thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Okay, Anne-Marie M. And Laura Lee is up next. And following Laura Lee, well, we'll have time for a couple more shares on page 52, paragraph 3, which begins with "When We Saw Others." Please go ahead, Laura Lee.
Hi, this is Laura Lee S. in Colorado. So grateful to be here live. I'm usually on the recording. This is such a great little simple paragraph, and it really made me think about what I'm going through lately. The truth is, what hit me is that these ideas do work. They do. Nothing else has worked for me. And for me, it's very much about the process of the steps that brings me to that reliance on God. And I had last week realized this giant resentment against this institution that I belong to, this group I work with. And I'd been doing, you know, 10-step inventories as things came up, and these things kept coming up. And I thought, I got to get to the bottom of this, and sat down and did like a 4-step type inventory on all this stuff, and sat down and read step 3 in the big book, every sentence, does this apply to me? Wrote down the resentment, my part, all that stuff, and made an appointment with someone yesterday to do my 5th step with them. And for 30 minutes before that, was thinking, I don't need to share this with someone. This isn't really a big resentment. This isn't a big deal. I feel relief now. I don't need to do this. And this is, I never want to do that part. And yet my experience is, unless I share this with someone, I never get relief. My behavior does not change. And if my behavior does not change, then nothing about it changes, because that's the only thing I can change. And, you know, so, you know, sort of going through this logically, I realized there's, yeah, nothing else to do. And, of course, I was afraid of the ego deflation that I knew was coming, because that's what the steps produce. And I know from experience that ego deflation, my ego is nothing. It's hot air. It's like ego deflation provides relief, and yet I'm always afraid of it. And I felt so much relief after doing 5th step. Also, you know, of course, before that, going through that process, and the 4th step of finding compassion for these people, that is the only thing that has ever relieved these resentments for me. And then getting on my knees and saying, I cannot remove these character defects. I saw he's just so lost in my old ideas, all these old ideas. I was so blind to the truth, and I can't let go of them on my own. I have to ask a higher power for help. I have to surrender. And I also know from experience that this process works, that this is going to provide relief. This is going to provide a new relationship with this organization if I decide to continue to have one. That's still an open question. And I also know that if I don't get relief, that it means that my inventory wasn't thorough, and not because I didn't do a good job, but because sometimes I'm just blind. And if I don't get relief, I can sit down and do it again, and I know God will provide me with more honesty, more insight, and I will eventually get relief, because that has been my experience. And I'm just so grateful that something works. Thank you. That something works for me. And yeah, it's simple. The instructions are there. It's not easy. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much. So we have time for two-minute shares. Who would like to comment on page 52, paragraph 3? And we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you haven't shared this week and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name and first initial of your last name. We have time for two-minute shares.
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Margo P.
And Margo P. Okie dokie, Barbara, you're up. Please go ahead.
Okay. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are. You sound great.
Oh, good, good. I always fail at unmuting myself. I get a D in that. Well, getting an infusion of God's grace, that was my problem, and I needed it because I was distrustful of religious people. Either they were all good or bad. But also there was a problem for me. If there was a God up there, he wasn't doing such a great job, in my humble opinion. There was COVID. There was racial injustice. There were so many things going on in the world. Why would he even bother about a poor wretch like me? Who uses the word wretch these days? I do. Well, I do have to agree that there's a power greater than me, because I used to think the power was me. The sun revolved around me. And this power that I didn't believe in, I simply didn't believe in him, accomplished the miraculous. He actually, I had to do certain steps in order for it to happen. I had to believe and I had to have faith and humility and surrender. And wow, I had to help others. Oh my goodness. So what happened? This war between believing and not believing, God won. God, this amorphous God that I'd never thought about, entered my life and my heart. And I began to feel peace and happiness and beginning to know what God would want me to do. But I had to follow those simple requirements, and they're not simple, are they? I don't feel God all the time, but I'm willing. God is willing to. The foundation stone of that arch we walk
gentle
through
reminder
is willingness. So let's walk through that foundation together. Not through the foundation, through the arch. The foundation would hurt. I pass.
So true. Yeah, let's walk through. Thank you, Barbara E. Okay, Margo P., you're our final share for today. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Margo from Florida. I'm grateful to be on this call, compulsive overeater. This paragraph is so beautiful because I remember that I was God. And I tell people, no, trust me. And first, I have to trust God. That is coming from God of the universe, you know, the spirit of the universe. And then I have to stop doubting when I have something that I have to do with my sponsor or a co-worker. Say, am I doubting about? You know, and I had to look about my food plan. I had to look about placing God, but it was with food. And I was like, oh, my God, what are the solution? Where's the solution? Where's my willingness? And I had to get into this stop doubting. And all these ideas that I was getting on my mind. So, you know, I'm so grateful to hear this paragraph because I thought I did it right, you know, and I have to be humble, humble that I have to work this the way God wants me to work and be on my knees and turn it over to him, whatever that is going in my life, you know, and I do this daily and I get on my knees and I do meditation and I call my sponsor and I'm grateful that my food is in place for today. So, I'll pass for today, and thank you, everyone, for sharing your squares and strengths. Bye-bye.
And thank you for sharing yours, Margo P., and everyone. Thanks to everyone who has shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Laura R. please read? Our book is meant a vision for you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet us, as some of us, as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.